Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here on Money, Riches, and Wealth. And as again, we have an open show tonight. That means that you, the listener, are the guest. You get to direct the conversation. I am back down in Florida, so I am not there in the studio in Maryland, but I have a great co-host tonight. I've got Maddie Bennett back again. Maddie, it's great to have you back with me a second time. Whoops, your mic is not on or something. Go ahead, try it again. Now you let Chris do it. Oh, I still can't hear it, Chris. Can you?
Good evening, everyone.
There you go.
I'm here.
Perfect. That's what I was saying. I know I can see her there, you know. I can't hear her, though, right in a second. Anyway, it's good to have you, Maddie. And but let me just tell our listeners again, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, you're our listener, you're the guest, you get to determine what's the conversation you want to hear and learn about, because maybe it's important to you. Maybe there's something instrumental that if we can answer a question, it'll help you tremendously with your personal financial planning. That's why we do the show, is to demonstrate what a true professional financial advisor should do. And so whatever the topic is, that's what a true professional advisor should be able to do, is address any topic that you have, any question you have, and help guide you into how to best deal with it and the solutions that are possible for you. So the phone number again, 410-922-6680. Maddie is going to be taking your call, and I'll be right there with her to answer those questions as you call in, 410-922-6680. And Maddie, your specialization in our firm is going to be financial therapy, right?
Correct, yes. So like I said the last time I was here, if anybody else was listening, I am pursuing a certified financial therapist designation.
And so explain a little more about what that's all about.
Yeah, so it's basically about the behavioral side of money, like how you view money, how you deal with money, a lot of unconscious decisions that you make around money, and just working through those.
Like we say all the time, the foundation of all financial planning is what you think about money determines everything you'll do with and for money. And one of the big issues is, what did you learn? What did you experience? What things traumatized you? What things elated you? And, you know, and those things tend to stick in our mind, and we tend to develop a theory around the things that we've experienced in life. And that's not always the way that personal finance operates, is it?
No.
And so that's what you're going to be, that's what you're studying and learning more about.
Yes, yes. So I'll be taking the exam in October. So I'm excited to share what I've learned.
Well, that's fantastic. So anybody, you have a question, you know, now you're not going to be able to get them to lay down on a couch or anything if they call in and ask a question. But that's not what it's all about. It's just helping people to understand the experiences they've had in their life and why that might be misconstrued in the way they're executing their personal financial planning, right?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
So anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you call in, then we get to address your questions. If you don't, then Maddie's going to have to ask me all kinds of questions, and who knows what she's going to ask me. So,
yep.
So
we've actually got a caller, Drew. Jack from Catonsville has a question about taxes. So we'll bring Jack
all right.
in now.
My favorite topic. Jack, how can we help you?
Whether or not your firm did tax work or just financial planning and investable assets, or my daughter.
Well, any true professional advisor, Jack, should be heavy concentration in tax planning. Most of us are CPAs in the firm. We do significant tax planning with all of our clients, be it estate tax planning or income tax planning or business tax planning. Tax planning is the focal point of almost everything we do. And anybody who says they're a financial advisor and they don't look at your tax return, they don't know how to help you with your taxes, there's something seriously wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess I was more asking as a standalone, do you have clients that start out as like tax clients and move into financial planning?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it just depends on the situation. If your situation is such that we can do that, that's great. So the best thing to do is an intro with me and tell me more about what you're thinking about, what you might need, and we can see if we could do that. So that's not a problem whatsoever.
Great. What's the best way? Just to reach out to your firm to get a sort of an appointment set up?
Yep, 410-823-7283, and those last four numbers spell SAVE, S-A-V-E. Or just look us up online, financialconsulate.com.
Okay, I appreciate it. You've listened to you for many years. Your tax advice is very on point when tying it together with financial advice. You do a great job.
Well, thank you, Jack. I appreciate that. So you just give us a call, and we'll see if we can work something out with you, okay?
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, it's 410-922-6680. Like Jack, he said, this is what's important to me. This is what I want to know. And so maybe you have a question like that, too. So where do we go from here, Maddie? What's happening?
So I came across an article that you wrote back in 2019 about something that I thought was very interesting and relevant to experiences that I've had with my clients. And it's about what can be the biggest mistake you can make in personal finance. And I just thought it would be...
I wrote an article like that?
You did. Not too long ago.
Okay. So... So, I did write an article back a couple years ago called Inertia. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, inertia is my public enemy number one when it comes to personal finances. So, what is inertia? It's saying to a client, you know, hey, you've got all this money in brick and mortar banks like PNC. I dislike PNC with a passion. So anybody out there, you got a bank account with PNC, you got a whole bunch of money in it. Why are you doing that? You're getting 0% interest on your money. And you tell clients that all the time, Maddie, and you say, here you go. Here's a virtual bank, Alley Bank or Marcus Bank or whatever, and they're paying 0.5, 0.6% on your money. And a lot of times clients don't follow through and implement that advice. So we're going to talk more about the inertia and the public enemy of inertia. But right now we have to take a pause with traffic, but we're going to get right back after this Money, Riches, Wealth and answer more about that. And if you want to call in the interim also, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Maddie, do you know what song that is? I do. Do you?
I don't. I hate to say it, but no.
It's okay. I'm not going to tell you, though, because if I tell you, then Chris will tell me I'm wrong. But that's okay. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. I think you got a couple people, right?
Yes, we do. First, we have Ben, and then we'll get to Tim. We'll get to you right after Ben. So we've got Ben from Pasadena with a question about a great reset.
Okay. Ben, what's up?
I think that was Robert Palmer. I'm not sure.
I would agree. But anyway, go ahead, Ben.
Okay. I wanted to get your views on the Great Reset, the sneaky little thing that's happening in the background right now, and what impacts it might have on 401ks and personal finance and IRAs and stuff. Do you have any views on that?
What do you mean by the Great Reset?
Pardon me?
What do you mean by the Great Reset?
This is I would assume from what I've read about it, it's a global economic reset. I think Mr. Bill Gates is in on it, and a gentleman named the World Economic Forum.
Okay, I mean, but I'm not familiar with the Great Reset. Is that a statement that somebody is making? Is that a formal thing?
That's what it's called, the Great Reset.
Maddie, pull it up. You've got my microphone here too. What am I doing? Why am I asking only you to do that?
The leader of it is a gentleman named Klaus Schwab, and one of his statements is, "You will own nothing, and you will be happy."
Yeah. Brought together high-profile business leaders. Yeah, I mean, you know, you've heard about these types of things, really they're talking more about stakeholders and things like that from what I'm reading, here. And this stuff has been talked about for some time where, you know, basically, you can't just invest and make money for investors. You've got to also consider the employees. You've got to consider the customers. You've got to consider this, and you got to consider that. And this stuff has been talked about for years. I'm not personally too concerned about it until you see something truly break through. I mean, you know, this goes back to the 1800s, actually,
they're talking about everyone having a digital ID, et cetera.
I mean, you know, these are things that, you know, you're going to always have, Ben. And if I focus my investing around every theory, every person out there who's powerful or not powerful wanting to do something, I'd never make an investment. I'd be frozen the whole time. So you show me something that is really serious, potentially going to get through Congress, and now I'm concerned, you know. So I'm watching a lot of the things that the Biden administration is talking about, and there's some very dangerous things that they're talking about, like higher capital gains tax, higher no 1031 exchanges. These are kind of things that there's some level of logic behind what they're talking about. But they do it in a way, as all politicians do, they just do it in a blanket way, and it ends up getting their effect on maybe 10% of the people they want it to affect, and 90% of people get caught in the trap who had no idea what trap they were springing because they really weren't the people they were after. So anyway, it's a good call, good question. I wished I knew more about it.
If you would, keep looking at it out of the corner of your eye.
Well, I always am watching things, but, you know, I'm not too worried about these types of things. All right. Good question, Ben. I understand where you're coming from, though.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next up, we've got Tim from Bel Air with a question about donations.
All right. Tim how can we help you?
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about, potential about write-offs and giving to nonprofits. We're definitely in a situation now where we want to kind of give back to a couple nonprofits and help some people out. But how do we go about doing that and being able to write it off at the same time, or at least writing some of it off?
How old are you?
45.
How much money are you talking about? $5,000, $50,000, $100,000?
Anywhere between $5,000 to $20,000.
$5,000 to $20,000. Do you have a mortgage on your house?
We actually own a couple properties. We do have a mortgage on our house, but we own a couple other properties as well.
Right, okay, so but do you have a mortgage on your house, right?
Yes.
And the mortgage generates, you pay $5,000 in interest a year, $10,000 in interest a year, $20,000 of interest a year?
No, that's a good question. I'm not really sure about that.
Well, I mean, how big is the mortgage? Is it a $100,000 mortgage or is it a $500,000 mortgage?
Well, the house we live in is a $300,000 mortgage, but we just picked up another mortgage for a little over a half a mil.
But is it on a rental property or is it on a personal property?
Well, the one for $300,000 is on our personal property. The our business property is going to be the one that's a little over, you know, $500,000.
Okay. So with a $300,000 mortgage, you're probably paying something in the neighborhood of $8,000 or $9,000 of interest every year. You're probably paying $10,000 in taxes. You're married, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, sir.
So you're married, so your standard deduction's about $25,000. You already have anywhere between $19,000 or $20,000 of itemized deductions because of your state and local taxes and your mortgage on your real estate. Assuming I've got your real estate mortgage interest right at about $8,000 to $10,000, so we're somewhere in that $18,000 to $20,000 already. So you really only have about $5,000 left that you have to go until you're going to get a write off from it. So now let's say you're going to do $20,000 and you wanted to do that over 4 years. One of the strategies we would use is a donor advised fund. We would take $20,000 and we would especially like, do you do any stock investing or
we do,
mutual
we do.
Fund? Okay.
Do
you have any appreciation, significant appreciation in a stock or a mutual fund that's outside of an IRA?
We just started in the stock market. We got some like Ethereum and some, I think, Fox or just some like AI money, I guess. Or
how long you been in it? Was it just the last 2 months or is it the last 2 years?
Maybe 7 or 8 months.
Okay, so you would go in and we'd look at the securities that you have that have appreciated. So here's one of the cool things about charities is, so let's say I buy Ethereum at $1,000 and now all of a sudden it's at $2,000. I can donate that Ethereum cryptocurrency to the charity, get a full deduction for $2,000, even though I never paid taxes on that $1,000 again. So that's one cool thing you can do. Now, there is a caveat. You can only do that with a long-term capital gain asset. You can't do it if you've only owned it 7 months. You'd have to own it 12 months in order for it to actually work. So what I would do is I would look at exactly when you bought anything that's appreciated. I'd figure out where 12 months are, and before the end of the year, I would consider donating highly appreciated long-term capital gain assets of $20,000 to a donor advised fund. Now, it gives me an immediate $20,000 deduction. Well, if you think about that, I've already at $18,000 to $20,000 in my mortgage interest and my state and local taxes. Now, all of a sudden, with this $20,000 donation, I'm up to $38,000 or $40,000 of itemized deductions, and now all of a sudden I go from no tax deduction for my charity to three quarters of my charitable contributions being fully tax deductible by doing it all in one lump sum in a donor advised fund. Are you familiar with the donor advised fund?
I'm not, but after we get done this call, I'm going to be calling up your office here to sign up with you guys anyway because we meet your other criteria. So I think I'm probably going to do a sit down with you guys anyway.
All right. Well, if you want to hang on, I've got to go and do a pause right now. But if you want to hold on, I'll explain donor, or you could just listen and I'll explain donor advised funds when I come back. Okay.
That'd be great. Appreciate
all right, buddy. You take care. And we're still on an open show. We still have plenty of lines open for callers, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680. And as you call in, we'll be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Maddie Bennett, a new financial advisor with the consulate who's specializing in financial therapy. But you do comprehensive planning too, don't you?
Right.
You do plenty of tax planning and estate planning and comprehensive planning. Everybody in the firm's a comprehensive planner, first and foremost, a generalist. But then we each have our own expertises and, you know, specialties, and that's what yours is on. But before we go to the next caller, you do have one, right, or two?
We've got one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's just let our listeners know, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask your question. But I wanted to just address Tim's question real quick about and why a donor advised fund. In a donor advised fund, you contribute money to a mutual fund, let's call it, with a charitable it's called a charitable fund. The one we typically use is either Fidelity or Schwab. We prefer Schwab over Fidelity, but we use them both. And once I donate my money into that Schwab donor advised fund, I get an immediate tax deduction for the money, even though it hasn't actually gone to charity. The reason is because Schwab donor advised fund is guaranteeing that sooner or later this money is going to charity. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going to charity. That's why I get my deduction immediately. But when I put my $20,000 in there, let's say, I can allocate it to any charity I want over whatever time I want. So if I want to give my church $1,000, I can go in there and grant my church $1,000. If I don't want to give another nickel away all year long and let it just sit there and grow for the year, I can let it sit there and grow. The next year, let's say it's worth $21,000. Now I want to give $3,000 away to a group or, you know, a medical research or whatever the case may be. I can give $3,000 away, and I can give $500 away. I can give as low as $50 at any one time by just going online, hitting grant money to a charitable organization. It just has to be a 501c3. And I can do that, and I can let the money grow, or I can use it up as quickly as I want to. But the point is I got my immediate deduction. I only had to get one charitable receipt. I can be anonymous when I make my gifts, and I can give appreciated assets to that donor advice fund and get a big break there also, that I don't have to pay capital gains tax, but I get a full tax deduction. If you don't know about donor advice funds and you are charitably inclined and you have liquid assets, especially highly appreciated assets, you should learn about donor advice funds as soon as possible. So Maddie, let's go to our next caller, okay?
All right. We've got Sunny from Annapolis with a question about the dollar strength versus other currencies. Okay. Sunny?
Sunny. Yes, I have just noticed the 30-day trend. I took a picture 30 days ago and today. The United States dollar is down against every currency I checked, Mexico even, Canada, Japan, Germany.
You should go back 6-7 months. It'll probably even make you more concerned. Because the trend has been down on the dollar for at least the last 6-8 months now. You know, after COVID came in and all of a sudden the dollar rallied and it was like the currency to be in when COVID first hit. Slowly but surely that confidence eroded in the dollar, and other currencies have been appreciating dramatically against it. But, you know, actually, because the dollar is the world currency reserve, it actually is a sort of is the operative word, good thing for us, because that makes our companies more competitive and so forth. And because we're the world reserve currency, which means they buy goods and services typically in U.S. dollars, it doesn't hurt us in the same way it does other countries who have to buy goods and services in other currencies other than their own. So when the euro goes down, and they're buying things in dollars and so forth, it impacts them to some degree. But when the dollar, which is the world currency, it doesn't impact us, but yet our companies are more competitive now with a weaker currency. So, you know, I do watch the currency markets too, But this right now, as long as it's a nice, steady, slow, and it's not accelerates too fast, I'm not too concerned about it.
Well, our inflation concerns me also.
Well, what inflation is that? I mean, keep in mind, the inflation that you're currently seeing is predominantly due to, two things. Number one, COVID breaking the supply chain to some degree, number one. Number two, though I agreed with Trump on lots of different things that he had to do, one thing I never agreed with was his ridiculous trade policy things that he did, which sort of helped to break down the supply chain. So right now, the predominant thing that's happening is you've had a breakdown in the supply chain and, you know, people weren't going back to work. You haven't been able to produce the goods and catch up with it. And if we can just get people back to work, quit sitting around on unemployment and so forth, and we get our global supply chain back in line the way it is, the quote unquote inflation that we're seeing, you're not going to see as much anymore.
I don't know about the gasoline. The day Biden got in and killed that pipeline, I think that's the start of our inflation.
Well, you know, it could be. You know, I don't like the fact that he did that. He goes around the rest of the world and says, you can have all the pipelines you want. But in our country, we're not going to have any pipelines. So I don't disagree with you there. But I don't think you're going to see, and if you want to, I'd be more than happy to make a bet with you on what inflation will be by the end of 2023. And I don't think we're going to see a significant acceleration in inflation unless something else more dramatic happens than what's happened so far. But we'll see. And that's the reason, I'll tell you why I feel that, Sonny, is that you look at the bond market. The bond market is probably one of the smartest markets of them all. And bond investors would not sit back and accept 1% on their 10-year treasury money. And they're not going to sit back and accept 0.04% on their 3-month treasury bill if they thought that inflation was here and it was coming back with vengeance. They would be right. The interest rates would be moving to 3.5% at the very least by now if they really felt that that was going to happen. But actually, they've gone the opposite direction. So always watch the bond market when you get afraid of inflation, okay? Just my own personal opinion. And we got to go, and we're going to go to our next. We have any other callers?
We do. We've got Jill from Mount Washington with a question about Social Security.
I like Social Security questions. Jill, how can we help you?
Hi, Maddie. Hi, Drew. COVID was good to me in the sense that
COVID been very, very good to me.
Yes, yes. And I made more money.
You remember that skit?
I do. Very,
what
very,
was what was baseball. It? What was it? Baseball been baseball. Very, very good to me. Okay, go ahead, Jill.
So I guess I forgot about that when I sent all my information to my tax guy. And lo and behold, last month we got a letter from, both my husband and I got a letter from Social Security saying, please refund a whole bunch of money. So
you collected Social Security before your full retirement age. That's what you're saying, right?
I did. I collected, started about 63. I'm now 66.
Okay. And last year you made more than you were allowed to earned income.
Yeah. Didn't even think about it. Yep.
And when did you turn 66?
April.
April of this year?
Yes.
And 66 is your full retirement age, right?
Are you asking me, have I stopped working, or
no? For Social Security, the full retirement age is different depending on whether you were born in 54, 55, 56, 57. You were born in 55.
Correct.
So therefore, your full retirement age is 66 and 2 months.
Okay.
So in other words, this year is your full retirement age, so you can earn up to $48,000 this year, but last year you were only able to earn $18,000.
Mm. Well, okay, so it's too late now. Then should I have, and was it possible to have paused my Social Security if I had known that I was going to make more money?
No, you couldn't pause it if you wanted to. Now, here's some good news and bad. I mean, the bad news is that you do owe it back. But here's the good news, okay? number one, now that you're over 66 in 2 months, you can earn as much as you want. You can make $100 million, mm-hmm. and they're not going to take a nickel of it back from you. So that's good news for you from this point on, because you're over your full retirement age. The second good news is that as you pay that money back, they're going to adjust your Social Security check up for the Social Security that they took back from you for this last year, because that's the, you know, a lot of people think that it's like a penalty, that they're taking it from you and it's a big penalty. But what it is they're just saying, hey, you earned more than you were supposed to. We're going to take it back. But now when you hit your full retirement age and you start collecting, we're going to adjust your Social Security up for that amount of money that you just paid back to us. You're going to get it over your lifetime. You're just, you know, unfortunately have to give it back to them in a lump sum today.
Right. So just to confirm, if I continue to work and contribute to Social Security, and even though I've started
taking it. Here's how that works. So what you're asking is, if I continue to pay into the system, is it going to benefit me more and more? Okay. And the answer is maybe. So here's how Social Security works. It's the top 35 years. So you go back and look at all your earnings over the last 50 years you might have been working or whatever, and you look for your top 35. If next year you earn more than one of those top 35, then yes, you will get another bump and adjustment to your Social Security. For example, my father started to collect Social Security back in 1989 or something of that sort, but he worked all the way up until just a few years before he died in 2014, I think was the last year that he worked. And my father's Social Security was keeping up with everybody else's Social Security, whereas when you meet most people who retired in 1989, their Social Security is minuscule compared to new people retiring today. So yes, you do get an adjustment every year. You got to hold for me, Jill, if you want any more on this,
okay.
Because I got to take a pause. You want to hold?
Sure.
Okay, you hold, and I'm going to be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, riches, and wealth. We're going to go to Jill real quick and try to see if we've answered her question. Let's go.
You did. And you're basically saying there's nothing I should have or could have done. That's the way it was. I should just enjoy the higher income I received.
That is correct. You just pay it back, but this year you can earn as much as you want, and you don't have anything to worry about. And from now on, you can earn as much as you'd like. And if you do, and it's a top 35, it's going to continue to adjust your Social Security check up even more than the inflation adjustment every year. Okay.
Would there have been any difference in whether I should have contributed to a Roth or a regular IRA? And do you in general recommend Roth, regardless of whether there's a refund or a...
It really depends on the AGI and where do you expect your taxable tax bracket to be in the future, which is a very complicated issue, because I can argue that somebody making $150,000 today is going to be in a higher tax bracket in retirement, even though they may only be earning $40,000. So you might say that sounds impossible, but no, really, it can happen because of the way they tax Social Security and so forth. But okay. So each question you have to have the specifics to be able to answer. But no, there's nothing you could have done with IRAs. You couldn't even have done it with a 401k. You might have adjusted your income down, but your earnings going to Social Security would still have been reported at the higher number. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing you could have done. The best thing you could have done is not collected until you got to an older age, but you probably, you know, felt you needed it at the time you did it. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's a different story. So,
right. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, Jill. Good question, though. Excellent question. What do you got, Maddie?
All right. Up next, we've got Jason from Mount Washington with a question about a stimulus check.
What are those
check?
People in Mount Washington doing? Just sitting around listening to Money, Risk, and Wealth, asking questions?
They must be. They're loyal listeners. All right, Jason.
Jason, how can we help you?
Actually, we're tipping back a brew and just barely staying conscious here. So, you know, the question is, I have a niece who quit working last year to raise her little baby. And so she was telling me she'd never filed a tax return last year. And I wasn't sure, but I thought that was a mistake because of these stimulus checks. So the question, is there a time limit, you know, for her to get that tax return in, or she loses the check? Am I right that she should go ahead and...
Well, wait a minute. So let me give you... I'm assuming she's a single mother, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the answer to your question. If she filed an 18 tax return, chances are she got the first stimulus check. Did she file an 18 tax return?
I don't believe so, but I'm not sure. She said she did not receive any stimulus check, so I'm going to guess...
Okay, so if she received no stimulus check, she can file a tax return for 2020 and get every single nickel of stimulus check, and she'll get the $2,800 if she has a baby. She'll get $2,800 from the Biden administration in 2021 also. She may even get it in the next few weeks if she files it, next few months if she files it now. So, yes, I would. If she didn't get any stimulus, I would strongly encourage her to get somebody to just, even if it says 0000, here's my Social Security number, I'm an adult, I've got a child, I deserve it. And then she'll also start getting that monthly child tax credit, which is going to be about $300 a month for her. So I would encourage you to encourage her to get somebody to file a tax return for her.
So it's not too late.
No, it's not too late at all. And absolutely, she should be doing it. And there's no penalty to her. There's no penalty for her missing the filing deadline because she doesn't owe anything. Because she doesn't owe anything, there is no penalty to her. So get it filed as soon as possible and ask for the stimulus check. And I believe there's also possibly even a portal that she can go on to and ask. But the easier solution would be to just file the 2020 tax return and ask for the stimulus money from 2020. And then she could also log on to the client portal, the IRS portal, but it's an absolute pain in the neck. Trust me. And then she can start getting the child tax credit also at the same time. All right?
Gotcha. So it's not too late. And is there a cutoff date, by the way? Should I tell her?
No. But I would do it as soon as possible, obviously. I wouldn't be waiting. Because she's talking about a lot of money if she had a child. She's talking about a lot of money. Because she's not only is she going to get the stimulus check, she's going to get the refundable tax credit for the child also, which is $1,400 and so forth. So there's a lot of money out there. It could add up to at least $6,000.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. You take care. Good question. Excellent question. Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate, Maddie, that there are a lot of poor, you know, people who don't have a lot of income, don't have a lot of assets, and don't know that all these tax laws are out there and what you got to do to collect against them. But, you know, it's difficult for somebody like us to do it for them because, you know, they're not going to be able But there are organizations out there that do help people with this type of thing. AARP does a lot of tax-free tax preparation and so forth. But, you know, we started this show. We talked about inertia. And I just want to, you know, because this is right up your line, financial therapy. Mm-hmm. People sit back and we tell them, you know, get a home equity credit line, get your money out of brick and mortar banks and get into an online bank that actually pays you some interest. Go requote your auto insurance, go requote your homeowner's insurance, up your 401k, and the list goes on. But a lot of times people think, oh man, you know, I just don't have time to do that right now, I'll do it tomorrow. And they just keep putting it off, and procrastination, inertia, in other words, not getting the ball rolling, not getting things moving, is public enemy number one against our planning. And you're coming up with solutions to solve that for every one of our clients, right?
Yes, that's the goal.
Well, I believe it, knowing how determined a young lady you are. So we're excited to see what you come up with to help us get our clients moving off of that center, you know, and
yes.
Get rolling.
Yes.
Anyway, did you have a good time tonight? We're already finished.
I did. It was a blast. Thank you again for having me back.
Yep, it was great having you. And I'm waiting. I thought Chris would be playing music. You know what? My computer is 1 minute faster than my cell phone.
Mine is too.
Yeah. So I'm actually 1 minute. I'm sitting here thinking, Chris, when are you going to play the song, man? You know, and he's sitting there saying, well, Drew, it's only 6:59:06. It's not 6:60 like you think it is. So anyway, we're going to be back next week with another open show. I don't know if Maddie will be my guest, but we'll have somebody with me. And I appreciate your time with me tonight, Maddie.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Have a good night, everyone.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gone.